Fruit. Tip today is to get spare parts for your rifle. That would be firing pins, extractors, and springs. Work with your local certified gunsmith to get these parts, and you'll be very glad you did. We have patient Wayne DeGreen and my friend Professor James McCanny. Professor McCanny taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. The author of 12, 13, maybe 14 books, I'm not sure. More on the way as he finds time. Jim is an advanced amateur archaeologist, advanced to the point where governments consult with him about matters of archaeology, and a weekly talk show host. Jim's website is linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, John.
Well, sir, here we are, the fourth month of the year already, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's already flying by. This year is, I hope this doesn't continue. Hope we go into some kind of time warp where it slows down.
don't count too heavily on that. Jim, you pay attention to a lot of things. What's really got your attention this week, sir, you want to talk about?
Well, the big thing going on is the eclipse coming next, is it Tuesday? Monday.
Monday the 8th. Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah, the 8th. And so anyway, I would say in terms of what the general public has been fed, that's the big issue. And so, you know, all the information on where to go and what to see and everything. I'm telling people, if you go to someplace, avoid crowds. I'd say that would be the one kind of rule of thumb, and there are these towns called with the biblical names. There's so much misinformation out there, and it comes from both the government disinformation sources, because they never let a good event go by without using it, milking it to create a smoke screen over here so they can do something over there.
Right.
One of the things they're saying is, oh, there's all of these towns that have biblical names. Well, for example, Nineveh, there's dozens of Nineveh's all over the place.
Right.
And the reason is because most of the eastern part of the country, from the Mississippi east, the towns were named probably in the 1800s.
Right.
And so when the country was 100% Christian, literally 100%, 101%, maybe just to catch the few. Some variation of Christianity, because by then, of course, the divisions had, most of them had already been started. But in even those groups were more concentrated on using biblical names. So you're going to find biblical names for towns everywhere. If you drew a random line across the United States and said, how many biblical names of towns can you find? You would find dozens and dozens of them.
Well, it's not just a line, Jim. It's a swath. It's 40 miles wide or so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not just a line, exactly. And so, anyway, so that myth is the myth. Like, oh, that's biblical. That's telling us the future. I want to remind people, though, too. Now, there's the issue of an earthquake. And yours, are you in the zone, John?
Where
you
I'm at are? The you edge. My home is about 95% eclipse. 30 miles east of here is a total eclipse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you could walk to the edge. And
right.
See
it's not a big deal.
On your bicycle.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so anyway, the point is that The New Madrid fault line is all over that place. I mean, it runs through about five states where the maximum, when the 1811 earthquake hit, which was the big one, that caused a tremendous amount of damage. They don't know if it affected California because there was nobody there. You know, certainly poor communications in 1811. There were a few people there, but it affected all the way to the East Coast. They say it rang the bells in Boston. That's one of the claims.
Well, that's documented. The winter of 1811, 1812, there were hundreds of earthquakes. Three of them ran church bells on the East Coast, and that's well documented, Jim.
Yeah. And so anyway, there's that. But I want to tell people that when the moon is perfectly aligned with the sun relative to when the moon is not perfectly aligned with the sun on a new moon or a full moon, which both adds to the sun, and really the sun does not add that much to the moon. This is a 1/r³ effect. It's called a tidal effect because the close side of Earth is closer to the moon than the center of the Earth. And the far side of the Earth is farther away than the center, so you get this bulge on both sides. It's the same effect that causes our daily tides. But when there's a perfect alignment, the difference between that and a non-perfect alignment of the moon, which happens twice every month, is about 2%.
Right.
So it's not a big deal, but they make it sound like, ooh, on this day, the sky is going to fall, you know, which is not the case. And, of course, they can fool the public by just presenting bad science. It's like climate change. The sky is falling. It hit me on the head, you know, the Chicken right. Little scenario. Right. And so everybody runs around and jumps up and down and says, you know, and quotes all the different things. But the reality is, in terms of physics, that it's not a big deal. It's not something that's going to 200% increase earthquake probability. No. And if there is one, like you say, in 1811, there were all of these earthquakes, and maybe one of them corresponded briefly with a passage of a total eclipse. And then, of course, they have to bring in the idea that there was a comet in the sky, which was a big comet, but it was not Earth-affecting at that time, at the time of the earthquake. But, you know, it's like, ooh, boogeyman. Comets. And of course, that plays into the New World Order garbage science, that comets are little dirty snowballs because they can poo-poo it. And so that, what I'm telling people is they control both sides of the dialogue. They get the crazies over here to say one thing, and then they get the white hat scientists over here to say another, and neither story is true. So lots of that going on relative to the eclipse coming up. But now I've spent last two weeks on my show, and then tomorrow night on my show, I'm talking about the scientific aspect of what is known as the Eddington experiment. Now, back in 1919, it was like May 25th, 1919, there was a total eclipse of the sun that ran across the Atlantic Ocean and up through Africa. So a guy named Arthur Eddington, who was a well-known and famous physicist of the time, and then a guy named, I forget his first name, but his last name was Dyson, D-Y-S-O-N. They teamed up to go, one went to an island, Eddington went to an island, and then Dyson went to a place in Africa with equipment where they were going to photograph the total eclipse of the sun with a star pattern, and the point was to prove general relativity,
right,
that the light bend around the sun. And so what they did is they got really poor data because of weather conditions and other conditions. World War One was raging at the time, so they had difficulty getting into countries and moving. So relatively poor data, and they took it back to England, and then what they do is they compare that star pattern around the total eclipse with the star pattern when the sun is not there, which is the normal position of the stars. And if you look at the original data has been lost. It was like the Apollo program. All the data was lost somewhere, which is bizarre. in itself, because these guys belong to major universities. It should have been preserved, but it wasn't. Somebody said, his sister threw it out with the garbage. Well, no, they threw it out because it did not prove general relativity. It did anything but prove general relativity, because all of the star patterns were moving, but in all different directions. Some of them moved towards the sun instead of away. And so what they did is they cherry-picked the data. They said, well, this star is doing it. This star over here is doing it about right. And they did a statistical analysis, and this sent general relativity into, like, the yes, okay, it got approved zone. And this made Edison look like one of the smartest men in the world, because now he was with Einstein, who was considered the best scientist in the world. And Einstein protested. He said, this doesn't prove general relativity. And to his dying day, Einstein was looking for other effects, because it did not include electric and magnetic fields. He said, why should gravity bend light when we don't know of an effect for electric and magnetic fields dealing with light, having effect on light? So he was, Einstein, up until his dying day, he was good friends with Velikovsky. They were both at Princeton. And I know this because I was good friends with Warner Sizemore, who was Velikovsky's private secretary. I interview Warner Sizemore in some of my MP3 lecture series that are on my webpage. But anyway, Einstein would come over to Velikovsky's house and play the violin and then have supper. So Warner Sizemore was there for all of this and saw it. So I have firsthand record of what was going on. But Einstein said the general relativity was incomplete. It did not include electric and magnetic fields. And that's one of the things I discovered in my work when I was at Cornell, because of the space probe data going on, and I called it the induced electric dipole redshift. So there is a bending of light going on, and it's due to electric fields, not due to the sun. And that's why the sun's gravitational field. And that's why all the star movement is random, because the electric fields around the sun are really, they're all over the place. They're moving, they're changing. And that's literally what the Eddington experiment showed. But the whole point of this discussion is amateurs have equipment today that is much better than what Eddington had, and they can go there and redo the Eddington experiment. So I'm encouraging people to do this. So this is a real event. And if you understand the history, and that 105 years ago, Eddington really changed the course of scientific history by using faked data. He cherry-picked the data, and nobody has redone this in the whole world of science.
Really?
This is not a difficult thing to do, and nobody has redone it. There have been a few attempts, and of course they failed, so they don't publish the results. So we have 105 years of cosmology based on general relativity. How much do you hear about black holes and time warp and all of this, dark matter and dark energy, all this stuff that had to be invented, fictitious science that had to be invented, trying to patch up and cover up for general relativity in cosmology? It's insane.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, so general relativity is, what's your opinion on general relativity, Jim?
Well, it's a complicated theory. The big thing that's correct about it is the warped space-time and the concept that mass changes the shape of space. And that's a different way of looking at Newtonian physics. But what happens then is when you start dealing with things moving at the speed of light, that's when things get crazy. And so the idea, Einstein did a few things. It's called the Gedanken or thought experiment, called the elevator analogy, where you do experiments in this elevator, and then you make the elevator accelerate, and then you do your light experiments. And then they say, well, since you're in this accelerated frame of reference, then those same experiments should work the same in a gravitational field, which they don't. And it's a thought experiment, and it failed literally. And Einstein understood this. And so he was looking, the reason for talking about Velikovsky, because they, first of all, they were good friends at Princeton, which I can verify. But when Einstein died, he'd had everything pushed aside on his desk. And if you've ever seen a university professor desk, it looks like a mountain of paper, totally out of control. And you know, heaped up kind of towards the center. And it's all this work that they're working on, papers and things there. You know, it's a mess. He had everything pushed aside to the sides of his desk, and he had one thing in the middle. It was Velikovsky's book, World in Collision, right, where he was talking about electric fields and electric stuff in outer space. And Einstein was trying to, he had, well, let's look at it. It's 1955. And Einstein did not know about the solar wind. He did not know about fusion of the sun, how that worked. He did not know about all kinds of things that we know about today. So he was grappling in the dark, literally, and he was working on something called unification of the fields, which is gravity, electricity, magnetism, nuclear forces, strong, weak nuclear forces. And he was trying to get some sense out of how these things are related. And so he was reading Velikovsky's book, because the ancients that Velikovsky was talking about were, they talked about this. They could see it in the heavens because of the big comets coming through the solar system. So anyway, the point is, Einstein did not have the information at hand in 1955 to solve the problem. If he had the information I had in 1979, he would have solved it. He, you know, he's a smart guy, but he died. And so anyway, when I came along in 79 to 81, all this information was coming back from space probes, and I had all my theoretical data. I came from a different approach. I was looking at gravitational fields and celestial mechanics and put in electric and magnetic fields, and then realized that all these space probes were literally seeing this. So anyway, that's when all of the plasma discharge comet model, that planets are being formed from big comets, and all of that stuff from my work came along, the induced electric dipole redshift. But the point is that standard science now is locked into this Big Bang, you know, the Carl Sagan cosmology. When Carl Sagan did his Cosmos series, which was literally when I was at Cornell in 79 to 81, Carl Sagan was in Hollywood making the Cosmos series and putting out the book Cosmos. And that solidified so that nobody would dare talk about Velikovsky. They would not talk about electric fields. They would not talk about any alternative science. All science had to follow that dogma. And so anyway, this is where we are today. We are, what, how many years? 45 years after that, and still everybody is locked in on this Big Bang, and it's just garbage science. It could not possibly be true. But this is a chance, this eclipse is a chance for amateurs, thousands and thousands of them, to go out, and you don't need a university professor. You don't need a PhD in astronomy. An average amateur astronomer can go out and do this experiment with very modest equipment and prove that general relativity is false. And that's one of the main pillars of modern cosmology. So anyway, that's the big story of the day. And of course, it is a big story, because we got to get rid of this cosmology that's just every day, like the James Webb telescope just went up. It's seeing galaxies fully developed right next to where the Big Bang should have happened, 13 billion right. years away.
Right.
And there it is, fully developed galaxy, thousands of them. And they're going like, whoops, oh, well, so they're going to run back to the drawing board and try and fix it.
Oh, fascinating. We got a break. We'll call and hold. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you're tired of being tired, you need an energy cleaner. Arthritis, pain, joint pain, got you down, same thing. Energy cleaner will help. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on energy cleaner. Energy cleaners and mattress pads that go with them are at my website, thelibertyman.com. Visiting with my friend, Professor James McCanning. Jim, before we get to our caller, tell people I can listen to your weekly radio show and the archives, please.
Yes, John. Tomorrow night, Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time from WWCR Nashville, Tennessee, the James McCanney Science Hour at the Crossroad, airing in its 24th year, commercial-free. And all the archives are available on my webpage, which is linked from your page. It also re-airs on a lot of different platforms, which I don't announce online. If people find those, that's fine. That's to grab other people out there who are listening on those platforms. But the show tomorrow night, I will be talking about this issue of the Eddington experiment and general relativity, cosmology, etc. And also, I have a new product dedicated to this, which is it was supposed to be on my webpage by today, but it's not there. But come back and look soon, probably in the next hours, I would suspect. It's called Eclipse, the New Cosmology. And it's actually a course. It's like a university-level course in this entire topic. There's like 7 lectures. There's a couple introductory lessons or lectures, et cetera. And then a lot of diagrams where people can actually go and take pictures of galaxies and measure their symmetries, things like that. Symmetry of galaxies is one of the big things that modern cosmology, the so-called Big Bang cosmology, cannot explain. And so anyway, I go through all of this. It's relatively complicated, but this course is designed for amateurs and professionals and just regular people who want to know this about what's going on. And this is, like I say, the biggest story relative to the eclipse. But you'll notice that nowhere in the public media, coming from NASA, coming from any place else, do they even talk about this. You would think this would be a major topic. You know, the Eddington experiment, but it's like the cat that ate the canary. They're not saying nothing because they don't want anybody to know about it. It would be, in a real world, it would be the top story. Eddington experiment, 1919, just like, now every time something happens, NASA went to the moon. It would be kind of the same thing, but like I say, it's like the cat that ate the canary. They don't want anybody to think about it because modern cosmology, as Big Bang cosmology, I actually call that the old cosmology, is dead. It's gone. It shouldn't be there. But you have these scientists in peer-reviewed journals. Imagine there have been 3 Nobel Prizes given for this garbage science. What are you going to do with this? It's really, and it should have never been there in the first place. That's the point.
Right. Well said, Jim. Well said. Our caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hey, hello.
John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
After the April 8th comes April the 15th, which is tax day. 112 years ago, from that day, there was a large passenger ship that sank out in the North Atlantic about 400 miles south of Cape Race in Nova Scotia. She broke in two, and she lies 2.5 miles down on the abyss. But I would like to ask Dr. McCanny, she took about 1,500 passengers with her, about 700 plus were recovered by the Carpathia. Beyond that, the rest is all speculation. In fact, I would like to ask Dr. McCanny what his opinion is of what her real name is.
Well, you mean the alleged Titanic?
Yes.
Well, I'm kind of an armchair expert on that. kind of like an armchair quarterback. But there's a lot of evidence that, yeah, that it was the, what was the sister ship? I forget. The
Olympic.
You had the Titanic. The Olympic, yeah. That it was substituted. And because it had a bent, keel, there was all kinds of problems with it. And it conveniently got rid of, oops, we got a break coming up.
We have a break. We'll wrap up this comment after the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Moore's Private Consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back. So my website is thelibertyman.com. Over 9 gigabytes of information there. We added to my COVID panel today with a couple of very important articles. If you want to get up to speed on the worst crime in human history, you can do that at thelibertyman.com at my COVID panel. Visiting with Professor James McKinney. His books, his website is linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jimmy, responding to John from Texas when we got cut off by the break. You want to continue, sir?
I just want to be brief because it's a change of subject here. I wanted people, if you want to call in, please ask about the topic at hand, which we're talking about the eclipse next Monday, April 8th. But just briefly, you know, the internet has a lot of information about the Titanic, and I don't have a professional opinion other than probably reading about the same amount of information as everybody else can find on the internet. And since I wasn't there, it's hard to comment. And I don't know anybody that was there. Nobody in my family. My family may have been responsible for helping build it, but that's about it. And since I don't have any contact with them, so I don't really have a professional opinion about, you know, what happened there.
Okay, real good. We need to move on. Do you have an archaeological update for us this week, sir?
Well, along with this eclipse, now, if you start breaking down standard cosmology and general relativity, and the a lot of these things tie in, for example, and then this is getting to archaeology, there was, when did Michael Brown discover Setna, the first planet discovered beyond Pluto, these Kuiper Belt objects, they're called. They're not really called planets because they don't want to cross that boundary and call it Planet 10, Planet X. But at any rate, this is all related to the idea that the sun and the sun's fusion is up in the upper atmosphere. So the core fusion model of the sun is wrong. There is a current of protons coming off the sun, which creates a capacitor. And these planets are forming out in the outer solar system, and you can actually see them. You can see them from the what is called the microwave background radiation. These are very cool objects, but they're discharging the solar capacitor and forming planets. And so anyway, that is going on, and all related to this bad cosmology that Carl Sagan solidified in his Cosmos series. So anyway, the ancients talk about large comets, and very, very large comets that did affect planets, that affected Jupiter, which is the biggest. It's not really a planet, it's a small star. But at any rate, the record of large comets affecting Earth is written in stone. It's with the Maya, the Incas. The Aztecs came later. They actually, as a race, developed later. But they carry on the tradition of thousands of years earlier. And so these major events, like the Mayas called the Venus, Quetzalcoatl was the personification of Venus, the comet, whose heart became the planet Venus. So they have a record of big comets becoming planets. And so the point here is that archaeology and cosmology meet in the middle. And so if you really want to study archaeology and get back in time, you have to understand that big comets are the things that affected Earth. And so NASA has this fleet of outreach people that they're on the internet. There's tons of them now that are involved in, I call it NASA outreach. They're the little fake English accent talking about all of the NASA theories that about the solar system, about cosmology, and without any proof at all. And they're just talky-talky kind of websites. There is so much of this going on. But the other thing is that, like, when I was at Cornell, they had just begun an astroarchaeology department. So that's the combination of astronomy and archaeology. And I got to know the new head of the department there. And when I was, this whole controversy that I started in public there, accusing NASA scientists of faking the data to support their pet theories, he had been in his first year of that department. So it became an official area of study where he could get grants and study the archaeological or the astronomical aspects of archaeology. So imagine that. Here he is. He's the head of the department at Cornell, where he knows that I'm right. He knows that Velikovsky got buried by Carl Sagan, who was the David Duncan Chair of Astronomy at Cornell. And he can't say anything about archaeology and the aspect of astronomy affecting these ancient peoples. Can you imagine that? And I went and talked to him, and he stood up and he shook my hand. He says, "I know what you're doing." He said, "I've seen people here lose tenure." He said, "If I said anything, I would lose my department and my tenure. I would lose everything." Imagine that. That's the condition.
That's a big hammer. That's a big hammer, isn't it?
So he didn't say nothing. He told the party line. and has got to keep his department. So that's the inside story of what goes on in a university where astronomers have the pecking order.
Yeah. Jim, when I was with the Green Berets at Fort Bragg, these guys, you know, were old enough to be my father. I was 21 years old, and they said, "John, we know the war is wrong, but we have a family, we have a paycheck, we have a pension. We're not going to jeopardize that by talking publicly about what we know." So,
wow,
that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Jim, we got a couple of callers on hold. You ready for some callers?
Sure. Just Sammy, keep on topic. That's all I ask.
Try to stay on topic. Sammy in Las Vegas, please stay on topic if you can.
Good morning, Professor. I'm pretty sure this is on topic.
Go ahead.
I've been studying Dr. Farrell's work for years. You know who I'm talking about, Joseph Farrell?
Okay, yeah.
And he's come up with the idea where he's actually proved to himself that plasma is conscious. Do you believe that, or is that getting a little off track?
In a sense, I'm not going to go there right now. But there are all kinds of things. Let's take something that's a little less spiritual, maybe. When I go out into like a high place up in the mountains, I can feel the electric field, the vertical electric field. And I know that when I'm with groups of people, that amplifies your communication ability. Your spirit is connected electrically. And I don't know how all of this works, but it is. And it's like when Christ would say, when there's three of you together, then I'm there. Why is that? It's because of that connection of the spirits. And so anyway, there's a lot going on. And with modern science, if you can't put a meter on it, then it doesn't exist. That's kind of the mantra. So there's all kinds of stuff that's out there. And it's not been studied. You find empirical studies like the Buddhists, the other people like the Peru, like the priests in Peru. They would take groups of people up to the mountains to pray. Well, why would they do that? That's because they were in group, but it also elevated. They're sitting on ground, electrically on ground on the mountain, but they're much higher in the vertical electric field, so it's much more effective. And so anyway, all of this stuff is going on, but it's like I say, empirically there, we know it's there, but it's never really been studied from a scientific point of view because modern science just doesn't believe it. In fact, modern science is atheist. They don't believe in the spirit. They think that man is an animal like a monkey. You're just Carl Sagan. You know, you're just a smarter monkey than the ones out there in the jungle because you evolved more. That's the evolution story. And it gets away from the spirit. It gets away from anything dealing with God or a belief in a designer in the universe. You don't need a designer of the universe. It would just all of a sudden exploded out of nothing one day. Isn't that convenient? You know, so anyway, there's a lot going on there. And when I was working with the Russians in the mid-90s, I was working with the atmospheric scientists at the University of Novosibirsk, and the psychology department got wind of it. And so they started sitting in on the daily meetings. And what they were doing is they were measuring the electrical activity of unborn fetuses, so before the babies were born. And they realized that at the point of birth, the baby all of a sudden has all of these six senses kicking in, and that takes over dominates the body with activity. But what was going on before the birth is these babies were communicating with the positions of the planets, and it was electrical. And my work was explaining why there was electrical connections there. What's the signaling method? When they're aligned, what's the signaling method going on, the electrical alignments of the planet? So the same thing that causes our weather is causing babies to respond. And some people remain very active in this regard during their lives, and other people completely forget about it. Most people completely forget about it. And you would not know about this. Most people would not know about it unless they were trained. So anyway, there's a huge gap, I would say, in our knowledge about this, because in Western knowledge, Western science, if you can't put a meter on it, then it doesn't exist. And so, and 99.99%, if you went to universities, you went into the physics or astronomy or space science or even mathematics departments, these people are all atheists. And they don't believe in spirits. They think when you die, that's it. Your body rots away and that's the end of it. You know, that's evolution. So anyway, I hope that gives you a little bit of an answer, but it's something that's definitely there. Yeah. And so, there's stuff there. It's just that it's not been studied or other than, like I say, in the Eastern religions where it is, they studied it empirically just by doing it by centuries and centuries of use, or like the shamans that were, there's a series of books by Carlos Castaneda. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But anyway, he dealt with a lot of the shamans in Mexico. And so anyway, I forget the name of the books offhand, but there again, they're dealing with the spiritual side of the human being, which is very complicated. We don't know a lot about it.
Well, Professor, this is very easy for me to believe. I said, I'm a Taoist, so this is very easy for me to believe. But I just wanted to bounce it off for you because it is way out there, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, way out there in terms of Western knowledge, and that's what they did. And that, by the way, again, is what Carl Sagan did. Oh, I don't have time for this foolishness. You know, his pompous, arrogant attitude towards anything other than evolution, you know, and Big Bang and like biological evolution, the same thing. In his Cosmos series. And the whole idea was to take the public and just douse them with this and not let anybody think outside that box. And it's been very successful. The Cosmos book is next to the Gutenberg Bible is the most read book in the world in history. Really? The Cosmos series is the most watched series in the world. It's like, you know, there's 7 billion people in the world. Half of them have seen the Cosmos series in some language. They pushed that, and like I say, from kindergarten, from preschool, the day your kid walks into that preschool class, evolution is taught. You know, that they're just a little smarter monkey than the one out there in the jungle, and that they evolved, and what does that do? It tells the kid that I'm just an animal. There are songs. What is it? There's a song that's I'm just an animal, just like the monkeys. I forget. But there's pop songs, very popular rock and roll songs based on that theme. Or like Material Girl. You know, all of these songs are aimed at making people think that they're just living in this world of Walmart and Target. And that's existence. That's all there is.
Professor, I think they just don't want us to know the power that we actually have.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we're living in a country that's lied to us since we came out of the birthing system. I mean, we've been lied to all our lives.
Right, and what they don't want is for you to understand the power of group association. What do you think COVID was all about? 2 meter distance, stand 2 meters away from anybody else. Why? Okay. You come back to the same thing. They don't want people to associate with other people. Stay away from other people. Don't form in groups. You cannot form in groups. You can go buy liquor. You know, that's not a problem. Yeah. But you can't form in groups in a church. And you look at the church designs. Most of the church designs are block the vertical electric field. So you get all these people in there, and they have no clue that if they just held their same service outside, they would have a lot more power. They would have a lot different feeling than sitting in a church. you know, standing
oh
and genuflecting.
Oh, my God, Professor. If you look at some of these old European churches, that's what they're all designed for, the energy around them.
Right, right. Yeah, and you do see that in old church designs, but not in the modern church is designed to block the vertical electric field. And that's like an amplifier. That is like an amplifier. So when you get groups, and you'll see Christ was never in a church. He never went to the synagogue to preach. He was outside.
Professor, I've taken enough of your time. You have a
Sammy, thank you for your call. We got a break. We have time for maybe one more call after the break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Jim, we're back. Let's see, Jim, if we can get one last call in here. We got Keith in Nevada. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to talk about Dr. Carl Sagan. He mentioned in the book Cosmos that the heavens, or the universe, he used the word universe, would eventually come to an end with a great fire that would melt everything. And I just wanted to say, he, unbeknownst to him, he ended up becoming a prophet of God in a sense, because in I mean I know he's a false prophet, but he quoted Bible verse that he didn't even realize he was quoting. And 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 12 through 13 states that the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, we Christians, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So I just want to encourage everyone that we are going to get a new heaven and a new earth where there is no more sin and no more death. And the other comment that I wanted to make is about the flat earth cult. And I wanted to say that Dr. Henry Morris, he's a PhD, he exposes the lot, he debunks flat earth, and he exposes it in scripture. And it's a, the reason why flat earth is a cult is because they actually, I've heard it more than once on Sons of Liberty and other channels, they actually state that if you don't believe in a flat earth, you're damned and going to hell. They actually believe that you're not saved by the grace of Jesus. So there, it's a becoming a cult. And Dr. Henry Morris, the circle of the earth in scripture in Isaiah 40 literally is, when you translate that, it's compass of the earth. And then the four corners of the earth is literally translated four quarters of the earth. And many of these flat earthers get it completely wrong, and they lie and they twist scripture just so that they can fit in their little cult lies. So God bless you and your ministry. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. Jim, we don't have time for any more callers. Your final comments for the day and for the week, sir?
Well, I encourage people to go to my webpage, jmccsci.com, and shortly, it was supposed to be there already, but there's the new product. It's a combination of lectures, etc. It's called Eclipsed, the New Cosmology. So go there. And it's relevant because of the upcoming eclipse. And then it gives a lot of work. If you have a student, a K-12 or university student, buy that for a present for them. It's all downloadable, so you can have it instantly. But once again, it's called Eclipse, the New Cosmology, on my webpage, jmccsci.com.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much. It was great having you with us, and we look forward to having you back next Wednesday, sir.
Thanks, John.
Okay, we are top of the hour break. We'll be back with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Stay tuned.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.